You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Is he not? Amen. It should have been louder. He is worthy, is he not? There you go. There you go. There are tons of books and websites out there and posts on Instagram or whatever about the secret of having a great marriage. And some are decent, most are pretty worldly. I just looked at some this week, the three C's of successful marriage. You know, it's all got a rhyme or something. There's the 777 rule for marriage. And you're like, what are these? Just look them up. The three P's that'll kill your marriage. And my favorite one, this is a real one, the 6-6 rule for an awesome marriage. This sounds ominous, doesn't it? The 666 rule. John, what is the 666 rule? It's a real thing out there. And this one is obviously from a woman. All right, three sixes. You find a guy who's over 6 feet tall, who has six-pack abs, who earns over six figures. Y'all are bad. Man, all the single girls are like, I'm writing that down. I learned something at church. Sad thing is, poor Miss Robinette, she struck out on every one of those. God says, you want to know a secret? You want to know a secret about having an amazing marriage? I already gave the secret in Ephesians 5. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, the two should become what? One flesh. This mystery, say mystery. This mystery is profound. I mean, this is a huge mystery. A mystery is something most people don't know. In the Old Testament, they didn't know this. Now God's revealing this. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying it refers to Christ and the church and my marriage as it pictures or does not picture the relationship between Jesus and the church. So God's secret to a spirit-filled marriage that even most Christians, many in here, and you've been listening for what, 2-3 weeks now, and it still hasn't permeated, it's a mystery to you, sadly. Ephesians 5, go in your Bibles to Ephesians 5. That's page 1081 if you say, well, I don't have a Bible. There's a blue one somewhere around you in the seat racks. Take that, that's our gift to you. Take it home with you, bring it back next week, put your name in it. In that one, it's on page 1081. We're gonna pick it up, Ephesians 5. Kind of halfway through. We're not going to read it first like we usually do just for time. This message was three times as long as it is right now, and I had to cut it back. Some of my favorite illustrations went on the cutting room floor for time's sake. I'm excited about this message today, which is kind of a counterintuitive because it is really pointed at me and at all you guys, all right? And whenever preachers bring up the word, dare to bring up the word submit, that's what the S word, many wives and many husbands hear the wrong thing. You hear the wrong thing. Like the 92-year-old man who went to his doctor to get a physical, and the doc, you know, takes all the blood work and all that stuff. And a few days later, he sees him walking down the street in the marketplace, and he's got this gorgeous young lady on his arm. And the doctor's like, oh my goodness. So he goes up and says, hey, wow, you're doing great, aren't you? And the man said, just doing what you said to do, doc, get a hot mama and be cheerful. And the doctor said, I did not say that. You heard me wrong. I said, you got a heart murmur, be careful. Old guy, better be careful. Don't hear the wrong thing today, okay? Say, don't hear the wrong thing. Don't hear the wrong thing. Now, here's. Let me lay it out for you. Biblical submission isn't about inequality. Some of you think it is, but it's not. Biblical submission is all about what? Roles. Roles. Write that down. I want you guys to take notes today. I really do. If you're a citizen, you're like, I don't believe in that submission thing. You practice it. What do you mean? Every time you see the blue lights behind you, woo! You might be smarter than that cop. You might be older than that cop, more experienced than that cop. Guess what you do if you're smart? You submit to that cop. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Here's my license. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You do. You might not like it, but you do. And so you do submit all the time in your everyday life, except when you get into the home, some of you. And so some guy says, man, John, I loved your sermon last week. I loved it. Wives being submissive to their husbands. That was awesome. Best sermon ever, man. You're my favorite preacher. Ha! I'll talk to you afterwards. It doesn't end there. Biblical submission isn't just for the little lady. It's not. Well, what do you mean? Ephesians 5:21. Submitting, say that word. Submitting to who? To one another, out of reverence for Christ. Here's the reason we do it, not because we feel like it, necessarily. Not because, you know, I'm in a good mood, and not because it really brings me all this really cool stuff in my marriage, although it does. But we submit out of reverence for Jesus. That's if you're a believer, if you're a Holy Spirit-filled believer. And you can only do this if you're a Holy Spirit-filled believer. Some of you in here today, you're not even a believer. You think you are, but you're not. You're like I was, and I feel for you. Man, I got a huge passion for folks like you, and you might have been here for 20 years. I was in church my whole life, but I never trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Believed intellectually, never received experientially until I heard that preaching, you know, that Jesus died on the cross, and I knew that. And he went to that grave, and he's God, and I knew that. And he rose victorious on the third day. I knew that. And he purchased with his blood on the cross salvation for me, for you. And I knew that. I just never said, I want that. I thought because I got baptized, got catechized, you know, joined the church, gave money, sang in the choir, that I was okay. That my parents were Christians. And until October 21st, 1979, in my Navy barracks room, when I said, wow, I have never done that. Never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. To some of you, the first step for getting your marriage right is to get with the marriage maker and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Say amen. Amen. All right. Here's the message today. Dude, submission's not just for your wife. Submission, dude, is not just for your wife. You guys, for the most part, you loved last week's message, didn't you? And you should. You should love every part of God's word. You should also love today's text from God's word. Because she has a high calling. Your wife has a high calling. And singles in here, we've got stuff for you. There's principles for you, all right? So hang with me. But we're talking marriage right now because we need to talk about marriage. Our marriages, some of them are taking hits. So what is the wife's high calling? We looked at this last week. Wives are to submit to leadership. Say, submit to leadership, ladies. All right, so that's your calling, wife, all right? Not to submit to every man, but to submit to your husband. That's your biblical calling. But dudes, you have a higher calling, a tougher calling. What's my calling as a husband? Submit to love. Submit to love. Submit to be loving. You are called by God and you can only do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why some of you are so messed up, is you're trying, you want to do this, but you're trying to do it in your own power. You're not, and Paul starts this whole section out saying, hey, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then when you're filled with the Spirit, here's how your relationship in your family will go. Here's how your relationship with your kids back and forth will go. Here's how your relationship at work will go. That's the key to relationships, is you walking in the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, being empowered by the Spirit of God. So you are called, lady, to by God's Holy Spirit power, or man, excuse me, mixed it up. Man, you are called, husband, by the Holy Spirit's power to submit to her in the area where she needs it the most. Love. Love. Well, John, I do love her. I get out of bed every morning early. She's still sleeping. I go to work. That's love, man. That's what some of you guys say. I investigate every noise she hears at night. Even though I know she's making them up. It's in her mind. That's love, man, that's love. Here's what many of you guys are missing, all right? Here's what you are missing. In Ephesians 5 again, verse 17, therefore, don't be what? Oh, say it. Foolish. In the CEV version, that's stupid. That's how it translates it. That's one of the translations of that Greek term. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's God's will, John? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. So he's saying, don't be stupid, be Spirit-filled. If you're not Spirit-filled, you're walking stupidly. Sorry, you just are. Some of you are doing the marriage thing stupidly. You want to do it right. You might even know some of the principles. You've looked at the different things online. You've gone to a marriage counselor. Still things aren't working. All these little tricks and hacks for marriage are not, you know, they're just not working somehow. Why? Because it possibly be you're not filled with the Spirit. You're still filled with you, and you trying to have a good marriage don't have the power to do it. Because the Holy Spirit gives you power to forgive when you don't want to forgive. He gives you the power to serve when you don't want to serve. You want people to serve you. It's a supernatural thing, folks. It's a supernatural thing. And some of you are living on the carnal marriage line. In Scripture, being foolish means living as if God doesn't even exist. Conducting your everyday affairs, your marriage, as if his perspective on marriage, you know, it's in one opinion. Dude, it's his invention. It's his invention. And if he says, here's what my will is, you be filled with the Spirit. You want a good marriage? You don't work on her first. You work on you first. You don't work on him first. Oh, God, get him. You work on you first. And so the reason we have so many failed marriages today is we have thrown away the original plan and design of the designer that God has given. Or we never knew it in the first place. Some of you, this is brand new to you, and hallelujah. And some of you, you're newlywed or you're not even married, but you want to get married someday. Man, take notes, because you can lay a foundation right out the gate. Those of you've been married 40 years, it's tougher for you, isn't it? It is. Many of us doing marriage stupidly. Say stupidly. What Spirit-filled wives and Spirit-filled husbands do? Because we don't have to wonder. He doesn't just say, be filled with the Spirit, and then we're like left to guess, well, what does it look like? And we showed you how to be filled with the Spirit, what, last week or the week before last? Look at that online if you're interested in that, and you should be. What Spirit-filled wives and Spirit-filled husbands do. And there's two big points. How many big points? Two. And there are four sub-points under the second one. Say four. That's for the men. First point's for the women. It's just review, ladies. All right, we got to get contextually here. Especially if you weren't here last week, we need to understand. Number one, big number one, a Spirit-filled wife submits by following her husband's leadership. A Spirit-filled wife submits. How do I submit to him, John? You follow his leadership. In Ephesians 5 and verse 22, wives submit. I don't want to. That's a command. In the Greek, that is a command. He says, do it. If you're a Christian, do it. If you don't do it, you fight against it. I wonder if the Holy Spirit really is living in you. You might want to check your salvation. Submit to who? I don't know. To your own husbands. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad, ladies? Say hallelujah. Why? As to the Lord, or how? How do I do it? As the same way you do it to Jesus, as to the Lord, or for him, because of him. When you submit to your husbands, you're submitting to Jesus, his will. For, he says, here's why. The husband's the head. This is roles. All right, it's not worth. It's not anything other than roles of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, he himself is its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit in everything to their own husbands. What if my husband tells me to do something illegal? Well, no, then you got the chain of command, right? Your boss, God, says, no, don't do that. Don't be selling crack down at the schoolyard. Your husband says, no, let's make extra money. You got a side gig going on. Who do you obey? God. Yeah. All right. But if it's just a matter of, you know, preferences, then submit. Here's the reason. He gives us a reason for each of these to do this. Reason to do it, it's biblical roles. It's biblical roles. I won't rehash last week's message. Listen to that if you're wrestling with this. It's biblical roles. It's not that he's more important. It's like the cop that stops you. He's got the role of being an authority to enforce the laws of the land. And you might be smarter, better, you know, prettier than him. Guess what? He still has the authority role. It's the same in marriage. It's biblical roles. But let me say this, guys, all right? And I want you to pay attention. You paying attention? Some of you ain't. You paying attention, dudes? All right, that's better. Quit making it hard for her to do what God commands her to do. Some of you make it hard, very hard for your wife, and you call yourself a Christian husband, but you ain't filled with the Spirit, and you make it hard for her. She wants to submit, but it's a whole lot easier to submit when the husband is submitting to God as he's supposed to be too, and not being a jerk. Jerk. Some of you are jerky jerk faces. I love who you are in your home. Here, you're fine. Here, you got it all, you know, going on. But in your home, you're a jerk. Say jerk.
Jerk.
Yep. Quit making it hard for her to do what God commands her to do. What do you mean, John? What do you mean? I stole this from somebody, but this is good. No godly woman wants to be in submission to a man who isn't in submission to God. Oh, God. Oh yeah. I mean, if they're walking with God, they'll do it. If you're a jerk face, right, and you're not saying stuff, you're just being selfish and mean and, you know, arrogant, they'll still submit if they're walking with God, but it makes it a whole lot easier. They want to submit if they know that you are submitting to God, that you're walking the walk and not just talking it. Recent survey, 63% of married U.S. women say they'd rather do something else than have sex with their spouse. 63%. Well, what would they like to do, John? They had the top three. Catch an extra hour of sleep. Or watch a movie. Or read a book. You guys in here, you think you're hot stuff? Most of your wives would rather read a book. John, why doesn't my wife like sex anymore? Well, I don't know, maybe, you know, just think it through. Maybe if she's working in the workplace, she comes home, she's probably worked just as hard and long as you have. Oh, preaching now, ain't we, girls? Or she's a stay-at-home mom with only, you know, with one or more wild and restless, only partially housebroken children, cooking their meals, wiping their butts, washing their diapers, paying the bills, coordinating the household. And then you come home and you wonder why she doesn't want to drag you to the bedroom, ripping off your shirt on the way because you're such a stud. Here's something I heard a long time ago, and I've used it because it is so true, and some of you have never heard it. It'll change your life. It'll change your sex life. Say, change my sex life. Men are microwaves, and women are crockpots. Men are microwaves. When it comes to sex, we're ready. Ding! So you see your wife, she comes out, she got a baby over one arm, you know, she got baby puke over here, and she sashays by, you see her hip, and you're like, hello. You're a microwave, ding. Women, and this is how God made them, they're crock pots. Someone said on low. If you understand that, dude, it'll help you a lot, because here's what we do. Not what you. Hey, baby, want some of this? You come downstairs in your tidy whities. No, she don't. She'd rather read a book. You have to warm her up. If you ever want to know how to warm a woman up, you're like, oh, I do. I'm taking notes now, John. Song of Solomon. I don't have time to go there. It's just a love story between Solomon and his young bride. And she talks about everything. It's all poetry, so it's kind of hard to understand. But it's somewhat graphic. And he starts slow and warms her up. That's how you do it, dudes. If you want really good sex, most of us weren't taught how our wives need to be loved, were we? Some of you, especially those of you in porn, you know who you are. You, especially if you were raised on porn, you got into it early, you have such a distorted view of sex. This woman just wants you so bad, you get, oh no. That's not. Submitting to one another. Doing what? Submitting to one another. To one another. Out of reverence for Christ. That's the reason we do it. He says, wait. There we go. All right. I was one behind. But still, submit. 1 Peter 3. Write this address down. All right? You need to check it out later, some of you. This is how the holy women of old made themselves what, girls? Beautiful. You want to be beautiful? Now, don't raise your hands, because then the women are like, oh, but all y'all do. Y'all do, right? If you're normal, you want to be beautiful. Here's how. All right, John, here's how do I. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. They, number one, put their trust in God. And number two, you're like, where's Mary Kay in that? This, you want to be really beautiful? So that God looks at you and says, girl, you are beautiful. Girl, you are beautiful. You ladies wrestle with so much body image today. All of y'all do it one level or another. Some of you every single day of your life. And your husband doesn't help in a lot of these scenarios. So we're going to try to fix him today. They put their trust in God. So first you put your trust in God. And then they do this roles thing. They accept the authority of their husbands. God says, man, that is making you beautiful. In the same way, you husbands, all right, now he talks to the husbands, all right, must give what to your wives?
Honor.
Say it louder, dudes.
Honor
to your wives, not the chick at the office. Treat your wife with understanding. Ho, 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 ho. As you live together, she may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers won't be hindered. You know, sometimes, I hate to admit this, but sometimes, and I'll have a, you know, it happens rarely, all right, but it does happen occasionally, and I'll have a disagreement with Robin, and I'll go out to my shop, and I'm hot, she's hot, and then I say, I want to pray and tell Jesus about her. And I'm like, Lord, that woman that you gave me, kind of like Adam in the garden, Lord, that woman. And I don't hear audible things, but in my spirit, the Lord says, I ain't listening. La, 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 la. Why? My prayers are hindered because I'm not treating her right. I'm not getting, well, what if it's her fault, John? It doesn't matter. Still, you're supposed to be the leader, aren't you, dude? So lead in reconciliation. God says, hey, you treat your wife wrong, I'm not listening to your prayers. You can pray all day, and I'm like, la, 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 la. Can't hear you. Get it right with her, and then I'll listen to your prayers. But I'm to treat her with understanding. Dudes, write this down somewhere. That means learn my wife. Learn my wife. That is huge. Boy, you can't figure out women. Oh, and we all say it, oh, don't we, guys? Women, you can't understand them. God says, that's your job, to not understand all women, but the one I gave you, dude, quit being stupid. You're stupid. God up in heaven, look at some of us, stupid, stupid, stupid. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. And so say, learn my wife. Learn my wife. That's your homework, and it's going to take you your whole life. Because women ain't like regular folks. She's a different animal, dude.
Amen.
She's a different animal.
Amen.
She is wired. Well, John, why'd God make it so hard? Here's why. You know what? Marriage, and Tom Tuttle has this saying, and I love it. That marriage is not there to make you happy. Marriage is there predominantly to make you holy. To make you holy. Because then you have to, you're in the same, or other divorce, but you're in the same house with this pretty little thing that has turned into a witch from, you know, God only knows where, and you've turned into an ogre, and you know, and you have to navigate that thing, and you either just blow up and say, like some of you are doing, or you say, wow, this is God's discipleship hothouse right here at my address. It is. It forces you to either trust God or trust yourself. How's it going, guys, so far? This passage in Ephesians will show you, frustrated hubby, what you're doing wrong. Four big points. Here are subpoints, all right? Say it, guys. Four big points.
Four big points.
Like one of our ladies told me this morning, I said, you're going to be taking notes? She said, my husband better be. Guys, you ought to. I'm serious. You ought to. I'm not a note taker. We'll start today. Start today. I want you to look around. If there's not a guy, you know, taking notes, I want you to say, you don't care about your wife, do you? All right, well, I'm just going to watch, you know, I'm going to watch it online, John. Okay, fine. All right, do that and don't lie in church.
I got my secretary.
Take notes. Number one, sacrifice yourself for herself. Sacrifice yourself for herself. She needs to be loved. How do you want? Baby, I'm gonna love you. Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. Sacrifice yourself for herself. The Bible says husbands do what? Love, that's that Greek word agape, which means sacrificial love. That's the love that Jesus had when he died on the cross. This is supernatural love. This is love that does it when you don't feel like it. You think Jesus went and said, oh, I can't wait to get on that cross, man. It's gonna be a buzz, woohoo. No, he was in the garden saying, Lord, if it's your will, take this from me. Sweating great drops of blood. I mean, his blood vessels somehow were busting. He was praying with such intensity. Lord, I know this is your will, but if you got any of it, you got plan B, Jesus. Or not Jesus, he's Jesus. Father. Not your will, but my will. And he went to the cross because of sacrificial love. Husbands, love your wives. How? How do I do it? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Boom. Your benchmark is so much higher than hers. So much higher. And many of us are failing at it. I can't do it. No kidding. You have to be Holy Spirit filled. Get that. What does that even mean? Sacrifice yourself, your comfort, your schedule. Surrender your preferences to meet her very real needs. Well, John, what does that look like? Well, I'll tell you what it looks like in my life, all right? I'm hard-headed, opinionated. You know that. And so I have something in my house that I really, really like a lot. It's called our refrigerator. And there it is. It's beautiful. When we remodeled it, I went all in and I got this nice refrigerator. Oh, it's so wonderful. And I told my wife, well, we'll spend the extra money because then we can see, you know, because it's up here, the open doors, and then the freezer down here. And then we can see and we won't waste as much food because I don't like to waste food. I hate to waste food. I hate to pay, you know, a ton of money at Food Lion. And then it's being thrown away. So that's me. So expiration dates and you know, use by dates, they're just suggestions, right? But my wife, she is letter of the law. She used to work in a restaurant, had to take the food services, whatever that thing is, you know, so you know how long, you know, 40 degrees, 140, nothing in between. That's the danger zone. And so she looks at the expiration date, and if it's that expiration date, it's gone. And that caused us a few verbal jousts. Because, I mean, I don't mind if you throw away asparagus or something like that. She threw away the rest of my tomahawk steak. I know. Divorce attorney? She said, yeah, that thing's been in there a week and a half. I'm like, it's a tomahawk steak. And you know what I've learned? Now, this is just kind of recent. And I still feel the old flesh going. And I'll come, and all right, we have a trash bin that pulls out. And I look, and I'm the trash guy in the house. And if that thing is heavy, I know what it is. Mama has cleaned out the fridge. But I have had to say, and she says, do you trust me? I had the food handling class. Did you have the food handling class? Well, no, I just, the reason you probably have pancreas problems is because you're always eating old food and out of date. If you listen to me, you might not have pancreas problems. So we're going to throw this away, aren't we?
Yes, dear.
Man, but I I submit, don't like it. John, do you ever go back to the trash bag and pull stuff out? No, not recently. She's the home manager. So she tosses it. I don't fight her on it. And now I've got to the place where I'm like, okay, baby. Inside, I'm still, you know, I can't believe that cost $21. Then I go to my bedroom and weep. It says, gave himself up. He sacrificed himself, gave himself up for her. Well, John, she and I just disagree, and I can't give in like you give in. I can't. That's because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Do you think I want to let that tomahawk steak go to the stupid dog or the dump? I want to eat that thing. I want to eat it, a little gamey. I don't care. It's tasty. It's tomahawk steak. The Holy Spirit has to say, John, she's going to keep you from an early death. And when you say, I just can't give in, you've proved the point of this whole passage. A Spirit-filled husband submits by learning to love his wife. And if you're unwilling to give up whatever is necessary for her, she can tell. She can tell, and it makes her responsibility of submission to you a whole lot more. Dude, you're fighting against yourself. You're fighting against yourself. Lead by example. Jesus did. He saw his disciples had dirty feet. They came in. Back then, they used to have the servant. The lowliest person would always wash the feet whenever you had a meeting, you know, because they had sandals. They walked around all that junk. But they came in, we're all disciples. And everybody's, you know, waiting for somebody to wash their feet. And there's no servant around. And so, they're looking at each other. And I'm sure, Peter's like, I ain't washing y'all's feet. I'm like lead disciple here, man. And Andrew goes, I'm third. There's 12 of us. I'm third. Poor Bartholomew or them dudes. They're like, ah. And so what happens? What happens? Jesus gets a bowl of water and some washcloths. And he makes them sit down, kneels before them, and washes their stinky, grimy, camel poop stained feet. He says this, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That's what he's calling you to do, husband. Wash her feet, at least figuratively, if not realistically. That's the way you show headship in your home. You lead like Jesus did. Not like Patton did. Sometimes we like to lead like Patton. You know what Patton, he got in trouble. He slapped some dudes that had PTSD, deep, what's that stuff called? When bombs explode. PTSD. Yeah, that. They were crying and he just slapped them. Suck it up, soldier. That's how some of you are to your wives, hopefully minus the slapping part. Why don't you, instead of being Patton in your home, be Jesus? Well, John, I do love my wife. I'd gladly take a bullet for her. How about gladly taking the trash out for her? Instead of dying physically, how about dying to ego and pride and selfishness and laziness, dude? Amen? Sacrifice yourself for her. Number two, say number two. Woo, this is a good one. Help her to become a trophy wife. You're like, what? Where do you get that? Right here in Ephesians. I've never seen that. That's because you weren't looking. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Your job, according to Scripture, is to mimic what Jesus does for the church. And this is what Jesus does for the church. He sanctifies us. He cleans us up to present us to himself in splendor. In splendor. He helps her to become his trophy, the church. Well, John, I'm all for that, man. I'm all for that because she's getting a little fluffy. So I'm going to give her this afternoon. I'm calling up, getting her a gym membership so she can be my trophy. Dude, stop. Look at what he's laying down here. Sanctify her. What does that mean? It means to dedicate to service and loyalty to God, to cause one to have a quality of holiness. Here's the thing. I want you to write this down, guys. Spiritual leadership, you call yourself a leader in your home. Spiritual leadership, the husband partnering with God in sanctifying his wife for God. That's what it is. That means you are supposed to do everything you can to help her to grow as a child of God into the woman of God that he means for her to be. That's your job. Quit making her drag your butt to church. You take the lead. Quit making her be the main disciple of your kids. You take the lead. Man, we got this Hollywoodized, glamorized, bastardized view of beauty that is a curse to our wives. This body image thing. Some of you ladies, you face it every day of your life. You look in the mirror. A dude looks in the mirror, and all of us, I don't care how big and fluffy you are, dude, we look in the mirror and we go, yeah. Yeah, we never look sideways, we just look. A woman looks in the mirror, she goes, I'm fat. She's like 110 pounds. I'm ugly, I'm getting a little chin thing there. That's how you women are wired. And in the fall, man, and you know, and how you want to please your husband and how all the wiring comes in and Satan is telling you and he's using Hollywood and all this crap to, so that you compare yourself to all those Photoshop plastic boob girls. 1 Peter 3. And let me ask you this. If God says something and Hollywood says the opposite, who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Are you sure? Because many of you just lied in church. You don't. You don't. Already you don't. You don't believe God. You believe Hollywood. What do you mean? 1 Peter again. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles. Now, he doesn't say come to church with your, you know, a rat's nest. But don't be overly concerned with expensive jewelry, beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself instead with the beauty, say the beauty, that comes from within. The unfading beauty, I love that. No matter how old you are, you could be an amazing beauty for Jesus, amen? The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. In other words, rare. This right here is how the holy women of old made themselves. What's that word?
Beautiful.
They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. God says, you want to be a beauty, a real beauty, a real, you know, when God says it is real, it's real. All the rest of this stuff is fake. It's fake. Many of you just said a little while ago, you believe God instead of Hollywood. You don't. You believe Hollywood. Some of you are going to leave here and you're going to go back and believe in Hollywood. I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. I've got, you know, a gym at home I work out. Not as much as I should, obviously, but I work out because I want to be healthy and strong. Why? Because strong people are harder to kill. Yeah? Be harder to kill, lady. I mean, so yeah, be the best you can be, but they're all different body shapes. There's all different body types. Some of you, God made you bigger boned, you know, or whatever. And you shouldn't try to be Twiggy. You're like, what's Twiggy? Google it. It's from the 60s. So that's the trophy wife God wants you to help her to become, dude. Well, how do I do that, John? Ephesians 5 again. Ephesians 5, he says, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. For the first step of spiritual growth by the washing of water, a lot of scholars think it's an allusion to baptism. Here, husband, talk about spiritual leadership. You say you're the leader in your home. Lead here. Get baptized. Some of you haven't been baptized. For whatever reason, it's a command of God. Jesus did as an example. It doesn't get me to heaven. No, it doesn't get you to heaven, but it shows you're going there. It was the first act of saying, I love Jesus and I'm following Jesus. Some of you dudes have never done that. It's no wonder your wife, her spiritual growth is stunted. She's looking at you, whether she knows it or not, as leadership. And sometimes she uses you as an excuse. With the word, the new NLT has it washed by the cleansing of God's word. Husbands, you say you're the leader of your home, lead here. Get in the word of God and encourage her daily to get in the word of God. I'm not saying you have to read the Bible through in a year. My parents did that. I saw my parents from I don't know how old. Every year they read through the Bible, usually in a different version. They would read through the Bible, sit there and read aloud through the Bible. And my dad led it. That might be one of the reasons I'm in this pulpit instead of not in jail. Amen. Encourage her to discover and use her spiritual gift in God's church. Quit standing in the way of that if you are. Help her free up some time. You watch the kids sometimes and so she can get a sanity break. Christian husband, look at this. I write this down if you got room somewhere. My wife's spiritual inner beauty is a direct reflection of my spiritual leadership. My wife's spiritual inner beauty is a direct reflection. That's what God is saying here, of my spiritual leadership. Man, my wife, I tell you what, she's got a lot of problems. Well, it comes back to you, doesn't it? Reason to do it? There's a reason to do it. It benefits my wife. Now look, he continues. Verse 26, here's why he did it, that he might sanctify her, that means set her apart for himself, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that, Here's the result. He might present the church to himself in splendor, without a spot or wrinkle or any such thing. She might be holy and without blemish. Present the church to himself means to raise up and exhibit. Lift her up, my trophy wife for Jesus. Splendor. That means honor, radiance. Oh, it also can mean expensive, ladies. Spot, that's stain, blemish, disgrace. Wrinkle, imperfection. Without blemish, without defect. Your chief assignment, dude, from God, is to make your wife a more radiantly beautiful Christian. That's your job. Well, how do I do it, John? Most of you know you're just not doing it. Pray for her. Well, I'm not very good at prayer. Then get good. Then learn. Learn how to pray. You have not because you ask not. Pray for her. Lead her spiritually. Love her and protect her spiritually. You guys who try to get your wife to watch porn with you, what from hell are you thinking? Because that's from hell. You dudes who enable her addictions. You husbands who cuss, which leads her to cuss because she's following your leadership. You dudes who have affairs and then you're tempting her to have one to get even. My job, look at this, my job isn't to make her trashy, it's to make her a trophy. It's to make her a trophy of God's grace. So help her to become a trophy wife. Say, help her to become a trophy wife. Then number three, pamper that little lady. Pamper that little lady. Back to Ephesians. In the same way, as Christ, he's like, as Christ loved the church, this is how we're supposed to do it, dudes. That's why it's such a high bar. Husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we're members of his body. What's he saying? As the church is an extension of Jesus, so the wife is an extension of the husband. They're one in Christ, one flesh, one body, one person, as it were. So when she hurts and you say, come on, girl, get over it. She's hurting you, big dummy. Now here's something on hurting. I don't have time to go into it, but boy, I've learned this. I don't know if I've learned it. I'm learning it. If she's hurting, she wants to be heard. If she's hurting, I'm talking emotionally, but anyway, but especially emotionally, she got her feelings hurt by somebody else or you. If she's hurting, you know what she wants? She don't want you to fix it. Now, this is so weird because, dudes, we're fixers. We look at a problem and go, okay, well, one, two, three, boom, done, ha. Can I go fishing now? She wants to be heard. She's relational. She needs to relate her feelings. I don't want to hear your feelings. And that's why your marriage sucks. Well, John, this is so hard. Holy Spirit fullness. It's not you. Of course you can't do it. I can't do it. Miss Robin loves chitty chat time. I mean, it's chitty chat time. Am I, you know, I've got things to do and all. And she's like, are we going to have chitty chat time? I'm like, and I'm learning to go, of course we are, baby. I was waiting for you. And it doesn't take, you know, usually, I mean, so 15 minutes to an hour, depending on the, you know, sometimes she just pours out her feelings. And I've learned not to go, well, here's what you need to do. She's smart, right? She wants to tell me how. You're like, but I'm not into feeling. Then get into feeling. Or else fake it for Jesus. Love your wife as your own body is what the Bible says. When you, I've seen some of you dudes, I've worked enough construction to see you guys get hurt. You've seen me get hurt. You hit your thumb. And what do? You hurt. What do? You're like, oh, you start sucking your thumb. I need Excedrin. Right, you take care of your body, don't you? You don't go, I ain't nothing. Now you try to suck it up in front of us, but we see you crying behind the barn. So when you do it in front of your wife, you don't want her to, you want her to say, poor baby, oh honey, come here, oh. You don't want her to say, well, suck it up, buttercup. How uncoordinated are you? Next time, you know, hold that nail with some pliers there, fixed it for you. You don't want that, so don't do it to her. Verse 29, no one abuses his own body. Here's the message. No one abuses his own body. Does he know? He feeds it and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church. He pampers us. Now, Robin was sick all last week, and I pampered that girl. And I made her meals, and I helped her get dressed, and I drove to Hardee's when she wanted me to, you know, get her some, she needed a Dr. Pepper. I needed Dr. Pepper. And so I'm like, all right, so I pampered her. And Tuesday's our meeting day, and prayer meeting starts at 6:30. Y'all ought to be there. And so, you know, we start the day real early, and it goes meetings all day. But she said, I really need you to stay and look after me. And I'm like, but I did. And she said, honey, you're taking such good care of me. Thank you so much. I'm like, yeah, baby, you got a good husband. And then she got this little look in her eye. And she says, wait a second. You're preaching on men on Sunday, aren't you? Are you looking for a sermon illustration? And I'm like, no, babe, of course not. But it helped. Me getting in the Word of God, it helped me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. And it's a reminder to take care of your woman. Dude, be a real gentleman. Be gentle with your wife. Reason to do it that benefits me. Verse 28, let's see if we got, yeah, 28, nope, I'm wrong. Verse 28, come to me. Nope, never mind. In the same way as Christ loved the church, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Pamper that little lady. And finally, number four. Verse 31, let me see if I can bring it up here. I somehow got ahead or behind. There it is. Therefore, a man should leave his father and mother and hold fast. Say, hold fast. To his wife. Hold fast to who?
Wife.
His wife. And the two shall become one flesh. Hold fast means be united to, stick to. It also means to glue to. Super glue you to. Well, what's that mean, John? You're married now. You're one flesh. Now, I'm talking to some guys, not thinking anybody, but there's some of you out there, one flesh with your wife. Say, with my wife. Before you were married, mama was number one girl in your life. You should listen to her and honor mama. Respect your mama. Love your mama. Respect your daddy. But after you vow to put your wife first in the front of God and those witnesses, you better do it. This is biblical. Do not be comparing her to your mama, or she might send you back to mama. Cut the apron strings, dude. Cut them. That's what the Bible says. You know what wives want just about more than anything? She wants security. She wants security. She wants to know that you are really biblically super glued to her, that you are one flesh, one person, that when she hurts, you're going to be there, that when she's interested in something, you'll do your best to figure out why it trips her trigger and try to get her more of that, that you have glued to her so tightly that you have only eyes for her alone. You're not checking out other women, and you're a one dude glued to one woman, man. She wants security, dude. And some of you aren't giving it. Some of you aren't giving it. Some of you guys, here's your homework. You know who you are. With overbearing mamas who get in your business and unintentionally, I hope, divide you and your wife. Here's your homework. You need to this afternoon get on FaceTime with mama. Dial her up and have a heart to heart. Mama, I love you. You'll always be my wonderful mama. But mama, I've come to realize that I've been putting you and your feelings ahead of, and then put your wife's name in there. I've been doing that. If she tries to interrupt, don't let her. No, mama, let me talk. This isn't her driving this, mama. I've been reading the Bible, mama, like and putting God first in my relationships, you taught me to obey God, mama. And I finally am, mama. Some of you need this so badly. You need to suck it up. I can't do it, John. I can't face my mama. The Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit in you can. Some of you, you're putting her second. She knows she's behind mama. You expect to have a decent marriage? I'm not saying disregard mama. Love mama, but put mama in her place. Her place is not your wife. That would be weird. Her place is your mama. Always respect your parents. But God says that a man should leave his father, and he throws in his mama. And some of you ladies, it's daddy, isn't it? You need to put daddy in his place. Your husband knows that he's second to daddy. No, no, that is not the way it's supposed to be. Well, John, I want a good marriage, but I just can't do that. Well, you're not going to have a good marriage. Sorry. Put each other first and hold fast, super glue to your wife, and these two shall become. That's when you become one flesh, man. I double dog dare you dudes that need to do this and ladies who need to do it to daddy or mama. Call her, FaceTime her. Don't just call her, FaceTime her. She needs to see your face when you say this and say, this is not her. I heard some preaching today. I went in the Bible, and this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to obey God. I double dog dare you. And I guarantee you one thing, buddy. You do that, you're going to have a good night tonight. Have a problem with her submitting to you, husband? Start submitting to her by loving her as she needs to be loved. That's God's command to you. It's not an option. She'll have no problem following your leadership if you lead her like Jesus leads the church. And instead, it'll be this. It'll be this. She'll say something like, this girl is on fire. But John, you were going to tell me how to stop my wife's nagging. I was here. I only came for that. You promised to tell me how to stop her nagging. I just did. Do the above. Number one. Sacrifice yourself for her. Number two, help her become a trophy wife. Number three, pamper that little lady. Number four, super glue you too. Do those four things. I guarantee you most of the things she's been nagging you about, you will have already taken care of. You'll do them because you're like, oh man, you want to love her instead of being nagged into the stuff that maybe you should have been doing in the first place. She's a responder. Write that down. She is a responder. You're supposed to be the leader. So brother, lead. Say lead. Lead. And all God's girls said, amen. God, we pray that you'll rebuke Satan out of our relationships and out of our marriages especially, and help us to quit doing them in our flesh. Start doing them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we say we can't, and you go, of course you can't. That's why my Holy Spirit's here, you big dummy. So God, as men, help us to be your God's men, leading by your Holy Spirit's power, loving her, submitting to her in love. And women, Lord, help the women here to be submitting to leadership by God's power, because they can't do it by themselves in love. But God, help us husbands to step up and quit being spiritual wimps. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.